Good morning. My name's Kevin. It's good to be here. And I need to start out with a question. You don't have to answer it. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? It actually is one of the most disconcerting questions you can ever be asked. Who are you? There's a number of ways that the question is asked, like if you're somewhere you shouldn't be and someone says, "Who are you?" You do something that is just so spectacular, so amazing, a feat of strength, something heroic, and someone says, "Who are you?" So, Kevin Green, I suppose. Or you do something that you shouldn't. Who do you think you are? Who are you? It's me, Kevin Green. Do you have some ID to prove who you are, that you are who you say? "Well, yes, sir, here's my ID, but ID only says that my name matches the identification. It doesn't actually say who I am." That actually doesn't work too well. Who are you? It's actually a really deep, profound, existential question. Who are you? You know, kids, when they were younger, our kids, quite a bit younger, because they're here, so like last year. Straight-faced kids? No, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't pick on them like that. When they were younger, we were talking about someone, and this actually happened quite a bit. They didn't know who the person was. And this happened more than once, and they hear the conversation and go, "Who is that?" And we say, "Oh, that's John we're talking about." "Oh, yeah, but who is that?" I'm like, "Well, you know, it's John. He's kind of tall, and he goes to church with us. That's John." "Okay, but who is it?" And by this point, I'm like, "Well, what information could I actually give you that would answer your question? Who is that? Who is it?" I'm like, maybe intuitively, kids actually kind of know the difficulty of this question. And they all know that names kind of fail us when we want to identify who we are and who a person is. Who are you? Do you know? It's really a question of identity, and struggles with identity, struggles with who we are at the forefront of what it means to be human. We go through our life searching for the answer to that question. Today we're looking at the first two verses, in the only chapter of the book of Jude. And it's a little letter, really. It's only 25 verses. It's like a little biblical tweet. And we turn to it today to help us with this very deep and profound question of identity. Who are you? Who are we? Who am I? And it's uniquely postured to help us with that because of the setting of this book. And I want you to imagine this early church. It's made up of these people that the gospel says belong together, that Jesus says belong together, but the world for generations had said, "You guys don't belong together. You need to stay separate." This is what it looked like. We had slave owners in community with slaves. We had rich Romans in community with poor Jews. People that had been separate were together. People that had been following the ways of Judaism for generations were with Gentiles who were new to this. Slave and free, Jew and Greek, male, female, rich, poor, black, white, tall and short. Everyone was together. And for better or for worse, because of this calling of the gospel that Jesus says you belong together. But here's the reality, it was an explosive combo, and it led to a lot of tension and a lot of situations that were open to abuse. And that's what was happening here. There were people who were trying to be leaders who shouldn't have been. They were in it for themselves. They loved the power. They loved the attention. They loved the spotlight. They loved what they got out of leadership. And Jude raises all sorts of questions for us about what it means to be a leader and how who we are affects how we live and lead. Today we're looking at the first two verses. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I'm writing to all of you who are called to live in the love of God the Father and the care of Jesus Christ. May you receive more and more of God's mercy, peace, and love. Okay, I know at first blush, it might seem that we're just kind of looking at a letterhead today and not going to get much out of this. There's no way that these two verses can give us any help and answer the question, who are you? What does it mean to be a leader? But I think you might be surprised what's revealed in these verses. Let's start with this. This letter is from Jude. Okay, that's not really that weird. Letters always start with some names attached to them. If it comes in the mail, we know who it's from because of the return address. It says the mail. When people write emails, our addresses are in the address bar. You would know it's from me because it says KDOG777. He gives his name. Okay, that's normal. But then it gets a little more interesting. He gives a descriptor, a slave of Jesus Christ. Jude, who is obviously some kind of leader because he wrote this letter and has some authority to address the issue, says that he is a slave of Jesus Christ. Who are you, Jude? I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. It's kind of a weird way to identify, right? How many start with that? Because in reality, what we do is we tend to put titles in front of our names so people know who we are. Kevin Green, lead pastor of First Baptist Church. Reverend Kevin Green. Right Reverend Kevin Green. Well, that part's not true, but I just like it. Esquire. A slave of Christ. This is how we identify as leaders, without titles of power, without all the reasons listed that say why you should listen to me. A slave of Christ. I'm Jude, a slave of Christ. But that's not all. He says, and a brother of James. Why does he tell us who his brother is? It's like some kind of name drop. What James is he talking about? James Zebedee, one of the sons of thunder? James, the son of Alphaeus? James, the author of the book of James? Or King James? Probably not. King James came 100 years later. No, that's false information. Way later. But it must be pretty prominent family because it's always assumed that people would know. But it turns out it's none of these. And are you ready for it? He is brothers with James, the brother of Jesus. That means that Jude, he is Jesus' brother. Brother of Jesus? Like, why wouldn't he mention that? Why wouldn't he start a letter like that? Hey guys, this is Jude here. You should know, you should listen to me. After all, my brother is Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the Alpha and Omega, the I Am, Savior of the world, and he's my brother. Just saying. And he blew it. He lost his opportunity. Wouldn't you rather name drop? Who are you? Well, I'm Kevin Green, but you know, I'm friends with some important people. I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, but did you know that I'm friends with Mark Buchanan? You don't know who Mark Buchanan is. Mark Buchanan's a famous Christian author, and I'm friends with him. Yeah, I'm friends with him. And anyway, I know him quite well, just telling you that. Oh, and also, I was hanging out with Arnold the other day. Oh, no one you really know, just Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I feel really pumped today. I feel great. It must mean I'm pretty special, right? Because of these people I know. And it seems like he had this golden opportunity. Listen to me. God is my brother. You know the Almighty, the big man? Yep. Well, at least my half-brother. Good enough. Got it, right? But he did not mention this. He did not mention that Jesus was his half-brother. Instead, he says that he is a slave of Jesus Christ. A slave of his half-brother. Maybe there's a problem with the word slave. You know, maybe we're just not understanding it. You know, with the Greek being our second language and all, we just are maybe getting this word wrong. Some translations do say servant. That's a bit more gentle, a bit less submissive, a little more voluntary, a bit less compulsory. Some translations say bondservant. That's a bit more like slave, person in service that doesn't get a wage. But there's really no doubt about it. He means slave. The Greek word is doulos, literally means someone who belongs to another. And in this context, Audrey, in this letter, one verse in, he is telling us something profound. As we all go through life trying to figure out this identity thing, who am I? Living out of that identity, projecting out of it, struggling with it, in all its brokenness, Jude says, I have given myself willingly to Jesus. Completely, fully, unconditionally. I live my life under the authority of Jesus. I'm sold. I'm sold to Jesus. Or as Keith Green would say, I'm trying to get his voice right, I'm bananas for Jesus. You guys know Keith Green? He actually said that. I'm bananas for Jesus. This is who he is. I'm not related. Yes, I am. Kevin Green is related to Keith Green. Let's start that rumor. Name dropping. Instead of claiming power with his relationship to Jesus, he says he's a slave, a follower. He claims no status. I can't help but wonder what it must have been like growing up in a family like that. His mother is Mary, the mother of Jesus, the writer of the Magnificat, the most blessed of women. His dad is this great man of faith, Joseph, who raised the Messiah. One brother is the head of the Jerusalem church. And his other brother, who is he? Savior of the world. Jude, the brother of James, and half-brother of Jesus. Third in line within a family that he will never live up to. What an opportunity for an insecurity complex. Now, I bet all of us can relate to that in one way or another. Trying to live up to the expectations and either having our life defined, our identity defined by striving, constantly striving, or having our identity defined by a feeling of failure, failing, never measuring up, constantly failing. So what does this tell us about identity? In spite of the fact that being Jesus' brother would have made him special, he's anxious to move that away from himself. He never mentions it. Later in the letter, and the content of next week's sermon, is precisely what he accuses the bad leaders of not doing. They keep pointing at themselves. They keep looking for status. They keep using people to feel powerful. They keep being bossy and abusing power. And James is pointing away, Jude. Jude is pointing away from himself. That's what he says true leadership is. It's pointing away from yourself and understanding what it means to be a follower. And did you know that all of us in some way are leaders? If we influence others, if we seek to influence others, and as Christians we should, we are all some kind of leaders. This message is for all of us because the leadership self, that identity, who we are, is truly rooted in who we follow. You know what the truth is? If we search for our identity in things, in titles, in people, in accomplishments, in looks, in possessions, in abilities, we will always and continually be unable to answer that question, who am I? Because our identity doesn't come from these things. It's not dependent on these things. But there's that great pull inside of us and outside of us to define ourselves, to build ourselves in our own image as opposed to the image of God. Did you know that you are called to be who you are? Did you know that who you are is good enough? It's just that we forget who we are. We build these walls up. We hear things. We hear messages, verbal and nonverbal, from our parents, from our friends, from the world, about who we are and who we should be. And pretty soon we're lost. And we come to a place where we're either striving or struggling. Lost. Trying to be who we think we need to be. Living up to those messages. Living up to that family we've been born into. Or living down to those messages. Living down to that family we've been born into. But here's the thing. Each one of you is fearfully and wonderfully made. You are Christ's workmanship. You belong. This is what Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. One of the most shocking things about God's self-revelation is that there is no descriptor added to it. He simply is. He is enough. The Kleenex is a prop. You know the way some people use their bifocals? I use the Kleenex as a prop just to draw you in. You may... I'm sorry, that was distracting for me. People who laugh at their own jokes are weird, right? You may or may not be surprised, but even the great biblical heroes lost track of who they were, felt insignificant, inferior, incapable, defined by the outside, by messages that we get, by hurts and wounds. You know, Moses was like that. The great Moses. He encounters God in the wilderness in the famous burning bush encounter, and we see a contrast in identity. On the one hand, there is Moses, paralyzed by his fear of not being enough, paralyzed by his identity of what he can't do, paralyzed by his lack of belonging anywhere to anyone. And then there is God, who is, and his being is sufficient. This is Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 to 14. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that is I who have sent you. When you have brought that people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Sent me to you. I am. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I am free to be who I am. I will be who I will be. It's an identity that is completely full, completely self-contained. It's an identity that is dependent on nothing. And it's hard for us to conceive of this, to imagine it, that an identity can be so grounded in being that it relies on nothing external. Philosophers have grappled with this question of identity for centuries, for millennia. Who are we? What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be self-aware? René Descartes came up with this famous saying, "I think, therefore I am." And I was going to say, ergo sum cogita, just to impress you, but I decided not to, because my identity is not reliant on that. The simplest, the smallest thing that we can be reduced to. But God, here in Exodus, he won't be contained or identified or known by anything but his total completeness in his being. He is who he is. It's all about identity. We worship a God who is complete, who is full, who is total, who is dependent on nothing, who is dependent on nobody for his identity. What a model for identity. Jude says this, "My identity is in this. I am a slave to Jesus, the I am. My identity comes from nowhere other than what you created me to be." Who are you? You are a slave to Christ, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. May God give you more mercy, more peace, and more love.